أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصلي عليه. الحمد لله. We have entered into the third and final portion of the month of Ramadan, and today especially is the day where Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, as you know, was the cousin of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and also the son-in-law of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he has a great maqam, the fourth great Khalifa of Islam, married to the beloved daughter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And inshallah al-aziz, today we will see a few reflections of the life of Sayyidina Ali, especially in relation to his wife, because this is our discussion at hand, the family ties and the filial ties that we all need to maintain and strengthen amongst each other. Alhamdulillah, at the beginning we discussed family as a whole, then we discussed individual members of the family, the father, then we discussed the mother, and then we discussed the children as well. And today what we're going to do, inshallah, is discuss the partners. And the partners, i.e. the spouses, the two people which actually build the family, i.e. the husband and the wife working together as a unit. And this is far more important than anything else, because if the core is not stable, then the foundation will not be stable either. And this is the most important relationship that we need to work upon. Doesn't matter how young your relationship, doesn't matter how mature your relationship is, if you want your families to stay together and if you want your children to stay together, then there must be love between the spouses. And this is a very important thing that we will discuss today, inshallah. And the love that we will discuss can't just be about the feelings that you have in your heart or in your mind or in your thoughts. No, this is not sufficient. That love needs to manifest itself in your actions and in your behavior. So you can't just have hidden feelings towards your spouse. Your wife may say, I love you, you know, in her heart or in her mind, but it's not enough. She needs to express that love. And similarly, you may love your wife, cherish your wife, really, really be close to your wife, but if you never share that with her, then your actual relationship will begin to deteriorate. And this is what happens, that when spouses stop sharing with each other, and especially stop expressing their loves towards each other, then their relationships begin to deteriorate. And as a consequence of that, it affects not only them, but it also affects their children, and it affects their brothers and sisters, and it affects their grandparents, and it affects their nana, nani, and everybody else, because they are the glue. The mother and father, they are the glue, and everybody's attracted to them. Why do you love still going home? Because your mother and father, they attract you. This is what happens. This is like, you know, that glue that brings you back together. Whereas if that glue breaks apart and if that foundation breaks apart, then you no longer want to be there, because you don't know, shall I go to my mother? Shall I go to my father? My dad's living on this street, my mother living on the other side of town. Who shall I go to? Where shall I spend my time to? So you're broken apart. Why? Because the mother and father are no longer together. And as a consequence of the spouses breaking up, the children break up. And a consequence of that is then it has a negative effect on society as well, because you have broken families, and then the children will not know how to behave, and nobody will be governing their behavior or their actions. And all of this happens because the spouses are not showing their love and affection towards each other, and this is the beginning of that deterioration. And the shaitan wants this to happen within our homes, because he knows that if he can break the husband and the wife up, then that's it, his job is done. His job is done. Because everything else will be a natural consequence of that breakup. And this is why there is one incident when Shaitan was sat on his throne, And all of his followers, they came to him and they said, "Oh, we did this today." And he said, "Well, you didn't do anything great." Then another one of his little shaitans come and he said, "I did this today. I made somebody lie. I made somebody cheat. I made somebody do this. I made somebody do that." And he just says, "It doesn't matter, whatever. You know, you haven't done anything significant." Then one of his shaitan comes and he said, "I placed enmity. I placed hatred and I broke up a partner." So the husband and wife, then the shaitan gets off his throne and he hugs him and he goes, "Now you have done something great." Why? Because he knows when you break the husband and the wife up, then the consequences of that are profound, because it breaks up the entire family. It strains the entire family, because the children will have to choose, who do I go to, who do I listen to, who do I love, where do I share my time and all of this stuff. Why? Because he has broken up the family. So this is why it's very important, extremely important, that not only do we look at our responsibilities as a single parent, you know, just as the husband or just as the mother, or look at each other as, you know, siblings or brothers and sisters, but we need to also reflect upon and understand the importance of husband and wife staying together and keeping their relationship strong. So there are certain stages that I want to share with you today, and remember, these stages are not necessarily definitive. These are just my observations, and I'm sure you will also have your own observations as well. But these are some of the stages that if you find yourself in one of these stages, then you need to realize that you're going on a path which will lead you to your own breakup. And you need to make sure that you correct yourself and your behavior before you end up in an abyss, in a dark place where it's very difficult for you to return back from. So a major problem that we find between spouses, between husband and wives in this day and age, is a loss of love. Because remember, at the beginning, we marry each other for love. Maybe because you like her, the way she behaves, or she was your cousin, or you saw her, or whatever. But you married originally based on some form of love. But then when the love starts to diminish, that is when the relationship begins to deteriorate as well. So we begin to lose our love. As you begin to lose your love, then it leads to negative behavior, negative feelings, negative thoughts, and then you go further and further apart, and then it leads to a divorce, and it leads to a breakup, and all of these negative consequences follow. So the first stage that the husband and wife need to realize is, have you stopped talking to each other? And this is probably one of the most important stages, that if you stop talking to your spouse, if you stop talking to your wife, then this is the first stage which will lead you to your eventual breakup. And it's a simple question, because ask yourself, before you got married, you were on the phone to your wife for hours and hours and hours. And you would never, you know, have enough to say. You'd always have enough to say sorry. So there was never something that you didn't have anything to talk about. There was always something that was on your mind. You share something about the weather, about your day, about your friends, about your family, about your feelings, your emotions. You constantly had something to talk about. You had talked and talked and talked, so much so that your minutes on your contract finished. And then you had to go and you had to get another phone and you had to top up and you had to do all of these things. This is the extent of how much couples talk before their marriage. And especially in the first couple of years of their marriage, then they talk and talk and talk, because they have so much to share about their 20, 30 years of experience. This is what happened to me. This is what I did at university. This is what I did at college. This happened to me. That happened to me in my childhood. So the first couple of years, we have so much to talk about with each other, and we're constantly talking and talking and talking. I'm not saying that amount of talking is good necessarily, but nevertheless, communication is taking place between the spouses. And as long as you are communicating, then it is beneficial for your relationship. But when you stop communicating, that is when the first downfall takes place. So ask yourself how much you used to talk with your spouse before you got married. Then ask yourself how much you used to talk with your wife in the first couple of years of your marriage. And similarly, how much the wife used to talk to the husband in the first couple of years of marriage. But then, as the years progress, you have less and less to talk about. And the less you talk, the less you express your feelings and your emotions, the less you are closer to each other. So if you are in this first stage of talking less and less, and you can easily discern yourself, you know, you probably don't have the messages from the first couple of years of your marriage, but ask yourself, just go back into time and try to ask yourself how much you used to talk. Any moment that you used to have, you used to talk and used to text and used to do all of these things, and now you think, "Oh, musibat, forget talking to her, forget texting her, I'm going to be home anyway for the next couple of hours, just leave talking to her." These are the kind of thoughts that we have going into our mind. So this is the first stage of that marital breakdown and of the breakdown of the family when you start talking less and less and less. Yes, you should talk qualitatively, talk about quality items, talk about stuff which is beneficial, but still any form of communication is good communication, and it's better than no communication at all. So that's the first stage. And the second stage, which happens between spouses, is when you avoid spending time at home. And look, you will see that there's a knock-on effect. First, you stop talking, and then when you have nothing to talk to your wife about, or the other way around, and you have nothing left in common, then you feel like, what's the point of going home? I may as well be out with my friends, I may as well go out for a drink, I may as well go out for a meal, or I'll spend a few more hours at work and I'll do this and I'll do that. So you start making excuses to not be home and to not spend time at home with your family, whether it's the wife or whether it's the husband. So you want to escape spending time at home. Why? Because you think to yourself, you have nothing to talk about, you have nothing left in common. Oh, mera sir khasi, main unda sir khasa, just forget it, let's just get away from it and just avoid spending time at home. So the first stage is crucial. Then the second stage is even more severe, because then you want to distance yourself from your partner. Then comes the third stage, which is when you stop seeing the good part or the good side of your partner. Because first you stop talking to her, and she stopped talking to you, then you stop spending more and more time at home, and then you stop seeing the goodness in your spouse. So you start seeing all of the negative things in her. She doesn't do this right, she doesn't do this, she doesn't do that, he doesn't do this, he's like that. So you stop seeing the good things in each other, whereas the reality is, she was the way she was when you married her from day one. And you were the way you were when you married her the day from day one as well. It's just that now you are focusing and observing the negative things. Why? Because you're spending less time with her and you are talking to her less. And as a result of that, you see all of the negative things in your partner. So you start looking at the faults of your partner. And yet again, this is the shaitan. He's stirring amongst you because he's playing a major role. He doesn't want you to be talking to your wife, because when you talk to your wife, you might end up saying something nice, something loving. You might end up smiling to your wife. He doesn't want you to do that. Then he wants you to spend less and less time at home. Why? Because the home is a place of sukoon, stability, security, protection. So let's get him out of the house. And then when you're out of the house, and finally when you do come home, let's make him see or her see the bad side of the husband, the bad side of the wife, so we'll only think negative about the spouse and think, oh, I hate this about her, I hate that about her, she's always doing this, she's always doing that. And we see in this particular stage, this is a dangerous stage as well. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he said in relation to this particular stage, that a good husband and a good mu'min, a good Muslim, a good believer will only have kind words to say to his wife, and he will always see good things in her. If he sees one bad thing in her, he will always see 10 good things in her. And this is what even what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran as well. If you see one bad thing, you will see 10 good things. And similarly, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you dislike something in the behavior of your wife or of your husband, you will always find something which is nice. And you can go home now, be honest to yourself. You'd probably be able to make a list of maybe 10, 15, 20 things which you don't like or dislike or disapprove about your wife or your husband. But then there's hundreds and hundreds of good things that she does and that he does, whether it's smiling, whether it's helping you with the food or the collection or the washing or the cleaning or all of these other daily activities that you do together as a couple. And this is something which is important for you to reflect upon. So the first stage, protect yourself in the first stages and talk as much as you can and express your feelings and your emotions. The second stage, again, don't distance yourself from your wife or your husband. Spend as much time as you can in your home and don't distance yourself. And in the third stage, don't look at the negative things in your spouse. Always try to look at the positive things, because they will always outweigh the negative things. Because remember, both of you are human beings. She's not perfect and neither are you perfect. You're not an angel and neither is she an angel. You both have shortcomings, you both have failings, but you're supposed to be working together to overlook and to fill out those gaps that you have in each other. You're supposed to be working hand in hand. Remember, this is a partnership, not just here I am and this is all you and it's all your fault. No, you're supposed to be working hand in hand together to say, your shortcomings I'll cover, And my shortcomings, you'll cover. We'll work together to make each other better and to make each other a good unit and good family. So this is the thing for you to understand, that you're both human. If you do see those faults, overlook those faults, and you are both it's natural for you to have these kind of faults in each other. And then we come to the fourth stage, is when you begin to lose your intimate relationship. And you can see these are all following. Stop talking, stop spending time, stop seeing good in each other. When you stop seeing good in each other, then you stop being intimate with each other as well. And whether that's something as simple as a hug or a kiss or being close and intimate to each other in the husband and wife way, all of these things happen in the fourth stage, where you stop being intimate with each other because you stop loving her. You know, first the love was there, then it goes less and less and less, and it diminishes and diminishes and diminishes. And in that particular fourth stage, you stop being intimate with each other, which is a very, very dangerous stage, because at the end of the day, you know, you can talk to other people, you can spend time with other people, but one of the closest things you can't do with any other person is be intimate with the other person. And that is something which is specific, a barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you stop doing that, then you may as well be friends, you may as well be cousins, you may as well just be a neighbors. What's the difference between you and any other person if you're not going to be intimate with each other any longer? So these are the four stages. And the fifth stage that we see as a consequence of stop being intimate with each other is then the husband will start to look for that love, that excitement, that affection outside of the home. And similarly, because the wife doesn't find it with the husband, she doesn't find good words or attraction or good or all of these other intimate aspects from the husband, then she will also start to look for love and affection outside of the home. And this is part of the human nature. You go towards where you are appreciated. And if somebody is neglected, naturally they will go to some person who appreciates them, who values them. So within the home, because your husband or your wife is not valuing you intimately, you're going to look elsewhere. Because they don't talk to you, you're going to find somebody who does talk to you, who does listen to you. Because they don't appreciate you, you're going to find somebody who does appreciate you. So then when you turn around and say, I never expected my wife to do this, or I never expected my husband to do this. Well, where were you when all of these signs were happening in your home, in your relationship? When you see the red light, you have to stop and you have to realize there's danger ahead. And all of these changes, these are signs for that person who understands that these are danger signs. If you're not talking to your wife anymore, that's a danger sign. If you're not spending as much time as you used to at home, that's a danger sign. If you're not seeing the good things in your wife, that's a danger sign. If you're not being intimate with your wife, that's a danger sign. So that all of these things, they come together, and then finally the husband goes out and finds love, intimacy and affection outside of the home, and he ends up doing zina. He ends up doing adultery. Similarly, the wife may go and do that as well. Why? Because she doesn't find it at home. When you don't find something at home, what do? You go to the shop, you find whatever you want to eat, whatever you want to consume, and you bring it and you eat it at home. Yes, that's true. So if you don't find the love, the intimacy, the affection, the understanding, the appreciation within your home, the natural way of insan is to go out and to find something which will fulfill his need and to fulfill his desire. So what happens as a consequence of all of these small steps that the shaitan is pushing, and you can't just blame it on the shaitan, because he's just, you know, encouraging it. But then you fall into sin by your own actions, by your own deeds. Why? Because at the beginning, you stop showing your love, your affection, by your actions and in your behavior. And you just thought, shadi 10 saal ho gaya, begum nahi pata that I love her. You know, these are the things that we'll come up with. Of course, your wife knows that you love her, but you have to share it. You have to express it. You can't just assume that it's okay, you've been married for 10 years and that's enough. That's a, you know, validation in itself. No, you need to constantly be expressing your love. Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions that shaitan makes you see that which you don't have as more beautiful and attractive than that which you have. So basically saying that the grass is always greener on the other side, and this is the job of the shaitan. He makes his dunya look beautiful, he makes other women look beautiful, he makes other men look more beautiful, and he wants you to go and have that look. Oh, your wife doesn't have that body, you want to have this person. Your husband isn't as strong, he doesn't have these pecs, you want to go to that person. And he's constantly, shaitan is making these things look attractive to you, so that you fall into this sin, into this error, and then the family breaks up. The relationship between the husband and wife breaks up, the family breaks up, society breaks up, community breaks up, and there's fitna, corruption everywhere throughout the world. Shaitan's job is done. But you need to protect yourself. You need to protect yourself, and you can only do that by asking yourself, am I in any one of these stages? Am I in any of the stages of being less intimate, of sleeping with another woman, doing adultery or fornication? Am I not talking to my wife? Am I not being intimate with my wife? Am I always seeing negative things in my wife? Am I not talking to my wife? If you're doing all of these things, then know that you are on the path towards your own destruction and towards the destruction of your family. And remember, you are responsible not only for yourself, but for your spouse, also for your children and for your immediate family. And then you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala why you failed in that particular responsibility. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in a sahih hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, those people who deceived, i.e., you know, when you deceive your wife, when you deceive your husband, those people who deceived or who betrayed each other in the dunya, on the day of Qiyamah, they will have flags above them. And they'll be carrying those flags to indicate that I am a person who betrayed my wife. I am a person who deceived my wife. I am a person who deceived my husband or betrayed my husband. Everybody will know what you used to do, even though you may think you get away with it. Whether it's online, whether it's in a closed doors behind, you know, somewhere, nobody knows, nobody can see you. On the day of Qiyamah, everybody will know who you betrayed and who you deceived. So before that day happens, before that time occurs, make sure you do tawbah, you do istighfar, and you go back and you protect yourself from all of these steps, which will only leading you to your own destruction and to the destruction of your family. So coming back to the beginning, which we mentioned, that love is an important part of the relationship, and it can't just be in your heart or in your mind. It has to be expressed through your actions, through your words, and through your behavior towards your wife. When you stop expressing it, then all of those stages will occur in your relationship. You will break up, the family will break up, and you will have nobody else but to blame. So how can we bring back the love in our homes, in our lives? The verse that I recited at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. That from one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He made you into partners. And this is a great ni'mah. The sign means a ni'mah, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has made you into pairs. And the pairs work together to help each other, to support each other, to love each other, to protect each other. All of these things, you do that together, hand in hand, because you are a pair, you are a unit. So appreciate the other half. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Don't just think tu hi tu again. Just you're strong, you're independent, you're successful, you have the wealth. And we say this all the time, I don't need you. I can do it all on my own. And we say these kind of things. No. Allah ta'ala is saying, yes, you do need your partner, because we made you into partners. Without the other, you are incomplete. Without tires on a car, the car is incomplete. You know, without a door or windows in a home, the house is incomplete. So you need these things. You need the partner in order for your life to be complete. So this is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, we made you into partners, into companion, so that you can live together in stability, in sukoon, in itmi'nan. And if you don't have that sukoon within your home, the sukoon is that your wife doesn't talk to you, you don't talk to her, you don't be intimate with her, you don't spend time at home. Where is the sukoon in the home? There is no sukoon. It's be-sukuni. And the only way to have sukoon is when you are talking to each other, expressing your love and emotions to each other. So you need to instill that within your homes and within your lives again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed, not is placing, not will place, has already placed between you, between the husband and the wife. What has He placed? Mawadda, affection between each other, cordiality between each other, and rahmah, mercy between each other. Mawadda is inclusive of love. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I've already placed in your heart, in your relationship, love and affection and appreciation for each other, and that you need to be merciful towards each other. So if we are not being loving towards each other, we are denying and rejecting a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has placed love, and that love is there for us to share with our partner. That mercy is there to share with our partner. That sukoon is there to share with our partner. But if we don't have that sukoon, don't share that love, don't share that mercy, then we are rejecting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, when you reject a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you only lead to your own destruction. Because when that mercy is removed, when that blessing is removed, then you only go to your own destruction, because you end up following in the footsteps of the shaitan. So try to understand the importance of husband and wife relationship, and they are the foundation. They are the core, and the children will always be hovering around the parents. But when the parents break up, the children will break up, the family will break up, society and the community will all break up, because those two people never stayed together, those partners, those companions never stayed together when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united them together. So try to reflect upon the beautiful relationship of Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi sallam didn't love any other one of his wives more than Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And they stayed together in bliss, in absolute bliss, in matrimony, in love and affection. And they were there for each other as friends. They were there for each other as partners, as companions, and they worked with each other in every single capacity, religious, social, economical, cultural, in every single capacity. This was that true partnership, that true relationship where they worked together for their own bliss and also for the protection of their children and also for the protection of the family as well. But 15 years after Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he conquered Makkah, on the conquest of Makkah, when he returned into Makkatul Mukarramah, all of the Sahaba Ikram, they were saying, look, come and stay at our house. Come and stay at this house, come and stay at that house, come and stay in this house. And they were all inviting the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But do you know where the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam actually rested? Where he stopped? He ordered the Sahaba Ikram to place his tent near the grave of Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. This was that love. And this is what that love and that yearning and that affection that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam still had for his blessed wife, that even after 15 years when he returned to Makkatul Mukarramah, he still wanted to be near to her. However, after a couple of years of a marriage, we can't be as far as possible from our wives. We say, oh, stay away from me, you know, give me my space, give me my room, I don't want to be near you. But look, after 15 years after his wife passing away, he still goes and he sits with her and he spends time with her because he wants to be near her. A woman came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after a few years after Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passed away, and she said, you have children, so you should go and marry another woman. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam began to cry and he said, no woman can ever replace Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra. This is the reply of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he started crying. And then the woman, she regretted, you know, reminding the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because it brought back all of those emotions, all of those feelings, all of those sentiments. And he began crying, and she was regretting how she made the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam upset, because all of those emotions came back. Look at how, after somebody passing away, still having those strong emotions. And imagine the emotions and the feelings they must have had whilst they were alive, whilst they were there for each other. If these are the emotions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam after she has passed away from this dunya. So don't, you know, let it be too late when your wife passes away, when your husband passes away, and then you think of all of the good things. I wish I said this to him. I wish I spent more time with him. I wish I shared this with him. I wish I appreciated him more or her more, and I was more intimate. All of these things is too little too late then. Now is the time for you to do those, all of those things, for you to show your appreciation and your love for the other partner, and not when they pass away. And neither should you be allowing the shaitan to enter into your family and for him to destroy your relationship and for him to separate your relationship as well. So this is very, very important. Another beautiful example from the life of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah, a great sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he went on a battle with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and when he returned from one of the battles, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam ordered the army to return back into Madinatul Munawwara ahead of Sayyidina Jabir and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said to the rest of the army, you guys go ahead first back into Medina, and me and Jabir, we will come slightly delayed, we will come a bit later on. And the reason for that was because Sayyidina Jabir, his wife had passed away and he had 9 daughters. And this is not a small amount, he had 9 daughters. May Allah be pleased with them all. So when he remarried obviously because he needed somebody for his own intimacy, for his own closeness and companionship, but also somebody to take care of his children as well. So the Prophet ﷺ, look at how intuitive he is and how much he understands these relationships. So he sends the rest of the army back into Medina early, ahead of them, and he keeps Jabir with him. Why? So that when the army enters into Medina, all of the people of Medina will realize that the people are returning back from the battle. And naturally, what will the wives do? They will begin to prepare themselves for their husbands. But imagine, you know, having 9 children in your home, you're constantly going to be running ragged. You know, koi hosh nahi, koi hawash nahi, na kapriya nahi, na khana pi nahi, na safai nahi, nothing. Why? Because you're taking care of so many children. So the Prophet ﷺ wanted the wife of Sayyidina Jabir ibn Abdullah to be presentable and for her to prepare herself for the arrival of her husband, so that when he enters, then he can look at her with appreciation, with love, and she can also look at him and feel like, yes, you know, I am presentable to my husband, and not just have dishevelished hair and baal kithe, kapde kithe, bache kithe, safai koni, all of these things. So look at how much the Prophet ﷺ understands the relationship between husband and wife. So when your husband comes home from a journey or even from a day's work, you should be ready to accept him, to, you know, to make sure that you welcome him in the greatest of manners. Similarly, when you are home and you're expecting your wife, you should prepare yourself with good clothes, good perfume, clean up the house, so that you can welcome your wife and she can become the coolness of your eyes and you can become the coolness of her eyes. Because when you see somebody beautiful, presentable, it gives sukoon to your heart and to your mind, and you want to hug them and you want to show your love and appreciation. But even though they may be your wife, if they're not ready, not prepared, and your husband is not ready prepared, you look at them and you just think, whatever, and you just carry on, because you don't have that love, that yearning, that attraction pulling you towards them. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ understood, and he told the army to go ahead, because there were no text messages, no telegrams at that time. So how can he inform the wife of Sayyidina Jabir? By sending the army firsthand, so that she could prepare the children and she could prepare herself, so that when he came home, she was presentable and he was welcomed in the most beautiful of manners. And this is something which is lacking as well. In the first couple of years, we do everything. We know when our wife is coming, when the husband is coming. We make sure everything is ready, clean, tidy, the food, everything. And then we're there and we welcome them. Then after a couple of years, yeah, he knows where the food is. He knows where everything is. Yeah, whatever. Jala pick Allah, and that's it. No. In order to keep your love alive, your relationship alive, you need to be constantly making sure that you are welcoming your spouse and your partner in the best of manners. Otherwise, your relationship, because this is an expression of your love. Think about it. When you love somebody, what happens when your mehman comes? Even though you may love them or not is a separate issue. But when mehman come, when your guest come, what do? You prepare the house, you prepare the food. Why? Because you want to welcome them in the best of manners. But if you don't love somebody, then you just neglect them and ignore it and say, whatever, you know, there's the fridge, there's the kitchen, sort yourself out, there's your clothes, iron your own clothes as well. But when you love somebody, you go through that extra effort to show and express your love and your appreciation for them as well. And this is what is missing in relationships. You need to constantly be reinventing yourself, constantly be reassuring your spouse and your partner that you still love them, just the way you love them the day that you got married. You still love them 10 years later, you still love them 15 years later, you still stand up for them, you still hug them, you still kiss them, you still do all of those things which will show you, or show them, that how much you love them through your actions and through your behavior, and not just, yeah, my love is in my heart, my love is on my ring, my love is on a piece of paper. No, show your love through your actions and through your words. So remember, marriage is the practical application of working together hand in hand in a partnership. And the Prophet ﷺ, he used to walk with his wives. And culturally, especially Pakistanis, we don't do this. And we see this a lot in this culture. But this is part of the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ would walk hand in hand with his wife, Sayyidah Zainab bint Jahsh. They would walk together hand in hand. Why? To show his love and appreciation. These days, the wife is 10 meters behind, or the wife is 10 meters in front. You know, nothing, because we think culturally it's not acceptable, it's not the norm. However, the norm here in the UK is for partners to walk in hand in hand, and this will reassure the wife, reassure the husband that here you are, and you're not ashamed of them, or you're not thinking on dasal budde, or you know, they don't look the same, anything like that. No, you still love them, you're still hand in hand walking with them. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do with his wife Sayyidah Zainab, walk with her hand in hand in front of the companions without feeling embarrassed. because this is what we feel, and we don't want to do it because, oh, bandaki karenge. It's nothing like that. This is an expression of your love. It's got nothing to do with community or society. It's between you and your wife, and your wife needs that reassurance. She needs to feel like she's honored. She has izzat. She has a certain amount of, you know, greatness in and importance in the life of the husband, and similarly the other way around as well. So don't feel shy. Don't feel embarrassed to hold your wife's hand, to hold your husband's hand, to hug them. Yes, obviously within moderation and within obviously modesty and sharam hayat, you know, depending on where you are, but nevertheless it's still an important part of you expressing your love, because when you do that, then it will rekindle that original flame, that original emotion of, yes, you know, I remember the first time he touched me, or the first time he hugged me, this is how I felt. And then you'll get closer together, because that touch will do much more than 10 words, much more than, you know, chocolate or anything else that you can do. So it's very important for you to appreciate your wife, express your wife towards your husband, you know, your love and your love towards your husband and towards your wife, in order for your love to maintain itself, and in order for your relationship to maintain its longevity as well. Don't just wait for your wife to pass away, for your husband to pass away, and then say, oh yeah, I used to love my wife so much, and then lament or talk about this. No, this is the time for you to express your love and to show your love as well. And I'll give you some more examples from the Sahaba Ikram. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, and everybody knows this great personality, this valiant character, the Siddiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Siddiq of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who always spoke the truth. Look at his love for his wife. He asked his wife, Asma bint Umair. He asked his wife, and he put this in his will. This is how much love he had. He told his wife, and he asked her, and he put it down in his will, that when I die, I only want you to wash me, I do my ghusl, and I only want you to bury me. Obviously, she had help with other people as well, but I want you to do my ghusl, and I want you to prepare me for my burial. And this was very strange at the time, and even probably strange today, you know, a husband asking the wife to do his ghusl and to prepare the shroud. But no, this shows the intimacy, the proximity, the closeness, and the love between husband and wife, that he doesn't want anybody else to be closer to him, even during his lifetime and during his death. The only person he wants next to him is his wife. And this is what he said, that, you know, this is what I want, that I want you to do my ghusl, and I want you to shroud me, and I want you to prepare me for my burial. So it was very strange at that time. However, look at what he replied, because somebody asked him, why are you doing this? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq replied, because she is the closest thing to my heart. This is his reply. When somebody asked him, why have you asked her to do your ghusl and to prepare your burial? Because he said, she is the closest thing to my heart. Whereas we run away a mile, you know, from our wives. But imagine the love and the mahabbah that you must have for your wife, in order for you to trust her and say, no, I don't want anybody else, I only want my wife to wash me and for her to prepare my shroud. This is something which is missing in our lives, something which is missing in our relationships. But if it's missing in your worldly life, then naturally it will miss you in the hereafter as well. Similarly, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha teaches women how to treat their husbands. She says that she once went to bed and she put a chadar over herself, and then she saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and she put the same chadar over him. Why? Because they want to be intimate, they want to be close together, as close as possible. But then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he requested and he said, can I get up for an hour or so and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And she said, even though there is nothing greater to me than your intimacy, than your proximity, than your touch, but whatever makes you happy makes me happy. So then she allowed the Prophet ﷺ to leave her comfort, to leave, you know, under the shroud and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that the wife needs to understand and the husband needs to understand as well. Don't just think that only the things that make you happy, you know, you should do, but the things that make your wife happy, you should let her do those things as well. Just the way this thing made the Prophet ﷺ happy, so she let him. She could have said, no, I want you to stay here, I'm feeling cold, X, Y, and Z, badichi, badkalina, no. She said, if you're happy, then I'm happy. Similarly, things that your wife is happy with, you should encourage those things that make her happy as well. Sayyidina Ali, which is what we began with at the beginning, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala, and he also teaches us how to express your love and your emotions and your feelings towards your wife. Once he was asked about his emotions and his feelings related to Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, i.e. to describe his relationship with his wife Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the way that he described was in poetry. And, you know, you need a huge amount of, you know, a love and a, you know, for you to express yourself in poetical terms. So he said, that Muhammad's daughter is his wife and his peace. So she is my life and she is my peace, she is my sukoon. This is what he's saying. This is how we describe, obviously in poetry form. So he said that Muhammad's daughter is my wife and she is my peace, and that her body and her soul are entwined with mine. So that her body and her soul are entwined. So you cannot separate her body and her soul between my body and my soul. This is how close we are. This is how intimate we are. This is how much we are there to support each other, to love each other, to care for each other, to honor each other, because we are entwined. And entwined is like, you know, things which you cannot separate. This is how close they are. This is how he expressed his love. He didn't shy away or think, patani loki kenge, or how they will see, look, you know, I'm saying this about my wife. No, he expressed his love. He expressed his happiness towards his wife by saying that she, yes, she is the daughter of the Prophet, but she's my wife, she is my life, she is my sukoon, and her body and her soul cannot be separated from mine. This is how much I love her and how much I, you know, want to be close to her. But, you know, somebody asks you about your wife, and either you'll shy away and go, or the wife will shy away and go, chodo yaar, you know, kya batau. No, express yourself. Show other people how much your wife means to you, because that will inevitably end up, that information will end up reaching your wife. Then she will appreciate and say, yes, my wife, my husband does actually appreciate. Because saying to your husband all the time, or saying to your wife in front of their face is one thing, but when a third person comes and says, your husband said this nice thing about you, or your wife said this nice thing about you, it fills your heart with even much more love, and that warm feeling comes into your heart as well, because then you know it's true, because a third person has come and said it. So never be shy of expressing your love or your emotions towards your wife as well. Sayyidina Fatima Az-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha would also joke about her husband, and she would just sit down and she would tease Sayyidina Ali, and Sayyidina Ali would tease her as well. And once the Prophet ﷺ entered, and they were laughing and joking with each other, and this is after about 4 or 5 years of their marriage, and then Prophet ﷺ asked them, what are you laughing about, what are you joking about? And then they shared that joke with them, and the Prophet ﷺ even started joking as well. So just because your relationship may be 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, no, you have to keep that flame of love alive. You have to keep that cordiality, that friendship, that, you know, that fondliness amongst each other. You need to keep that alive, otherwise your relationship will begin to deteriorate and to diminish as well. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he was a great sahabi of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and look at this great example I want to share with you. He went for Hajj. And as you know, the distance between Medina and Makkah is not that great, but still nevertheless, it takes a couple of days, you know, 3-4 days, perhaps even more, to travel from Medina all the way to Makkah, depending on the type of safari that you have. But Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he goes on Hajj, and when he goes to Hajj, he begins to miss his wife a lot. I'm not talking about the sexual way or no, he misses his wife because of that intimacy, that sharing, being there for each other, supporting each other, that true love which is untainted. So at that time, as you know, they didn't have WhatsApp, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have any of these things. So what he did, he sent a message with a person who was going from Makkah all the way to Medina. He said, go to such and such place in Medina, and that house will be mine, and give this message to my wife. Give this message to my wife. Look at the effort that he is spending to just send a message to his wife. And what is the message that he sent? He said to this person, say this to my wife, my soul missed you. Do you feel it? This is what he said, Abdullah ibn Umar. Look at the love that he's gone on Hajj. Yes, for a great deed, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he still misses his wife, and he sends a messenger from Makkah all the way to Medina to say, go and tell my wife that my soul misses you. Do you miss me as well? This is the love that we're talking about. And these days, we can't even bother to send a simple text message, a simple WhatsApp message, just to say, I love you, just to say, I miss you. And, you know, why? When it's so easy for you to do that, for you to share your love and to share your affection. Imagine you have to find somebody, you have to go to Yellow Pages, find somebody, go all the way to them and give them a message, and they had to travel all the way to London to give your message to your wife. Imagine how she would feel. Obviously she'd feel great, but then it would show how much effort that you've put in as well. So it's so much more easier for you to send a message, but you should be doing that as a bare minimum on a daily basis. You should be sharing your love and your affection with your wife, just the way Allah, the Prophet ﷺ would always do tawbah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. He'd always show his appreciation and his shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. And remember, everything that we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to share a portion of that with our family and our community as well. So if you do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also ask forgiveness from your family and from your friends and from your wife if you've done something wrong. If you show your appreciation and your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also show your appreciation and your love for your wife, for your family, and for your friends as well. You can't just do one and not do the other. You have to do both as well. So this is very, very important. One day, after many years, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting in Madinatul Munawwara and somebody knocked on their door. When somebody knocked on their door, the Prophet ﷺ heard a voice which was akin, which means very, very similar to the voice of Sayyidah Khadijatul Kubra. And he just jumped up. And he thought, oh my God, Sayyidah Khadija is here. You know, this is how much shocked he was, even though he knew that she had passed away. But then he got up immediately thinking, perhaps Sayyidah Khadija is here. But then he realized that her sister, Hala, her name was, she had the exact same voice as Sayyidah Khadija. So he said, I wish it's her, I hope it's her, I hope it's her. Why? Because obviously when you meet your wife's sister, then she will remind you of your wife, and then you'll begin to go over and reminisce the beautiful memories of the childhood and the hushi and all of those things that you shared together. So as he runs, the Prophet doesn't walk, he runs to the door quickly, just like a child runs towards the parents, or when you run towards candy and you're so excited to see something. So the Prophet ﷺ runs towards the door in hope that it is Hala. So when he opens the door, he sees her and he's so happy. He is full of happiness and joy. And then they sit together and they talk and talk and talk about the past memory. And he fills the heart of the Prophet ﷺ so much that he begins to cry, reminiscing and missing Sayyidah Khadija al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. So try to look at all of these examples and see how the Prophet ﷺ never allowed the flame of his love to diminish. He always wanted to make sure that the love was strong between husband and wife. And even the Sahaba Ikram would always express their love to their wives, no matter what sitting it was, no matter what surrounding it was. They always expressed it through action, through their behavior, and through their speech, and didn't just keep it in the heart and say, yeah, my wife knows. No, you have to express your love. You have to show your love. Take these examples from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that of Abdullah ibn Mubarak, that of Jabir ibn Abdullah, that of Sayyidina Ali, that of Sayyidina Fatima, that of Sayyidina Aisha, that of Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra. Take all of these examples and realize the importance of you expressing your love and sharing your love. Because if you neglect to share your love with your wife and with your partner, then they will feel neglected. And once somebody feels neglected, then they will walk away from you, you will walk away from them. And naturally, wrong things will transpire in your relationship as well. So love is all about actions. It's not about hidden feelings. And this is very, very important. Yes, you may have your love, but you need to be able to express your love. Love is on the inside, but you express it with a kiss. You express it with a handshake. You express it with embracing somebody. You express it with a hug. You express it with something intimate. You do all of these things outwardly to express your love, to express your emotions towards that person. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentions that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves somebody, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam and he says, I love so and so person, therefore you should love him as well. Allah ta'ala doesn't keep it within himself. He shares it with Jibreel and he tells Jibreel, you need to love this person as well. Then Jibreel alayhi salam, he goes to all of the angels and he makes an announcement in all of the heavens that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person, therefore all of you should also love him as well. So all of the angels and the inhabitants of the heavens, they begin loving that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah ta'ala doesn't keep him to himself, he shares it. Therefore, you can't just keep your love to yourself, you have to share your love with your wife. Don't be miserly, don't be these negative people. Share your love, because if you don't share your love, then those five things will happen as I mentioned at the beginning. You stop talking, you stop spending time with your family, you stop seeing the goodness in your wife, and you stop being intimate with your wife, and then you'll end up doing something drastic and something haram outside of your relationship. But if you're constantly expressing your love and your emotions and your feelings, you will stay together, you stay stronger, you together will stay as a couple, and your children will stay together with you, your family will stay united, and it will have a beneficial effect on the community and on the wider society as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to keep our love alive, to keep our love strong, and to express our love towards each other and protect ourselves from the waswas of shaitan.